My father says every day, it's like every time I call him, he says this. Things could have been better here. And I'm not being selfish, but you have to be selfish sometimes for your career.
Hi everyone, I'm Marty Logan. Thank you for clicking on this episode of Nepal Now on the Move, where we speak with some of the huge number of people leaving and occasionally returning to this country wedged between India and China. Ayush Pokharel will soon be graduating from his diploma program in Canada, and so his search for a full-time job has already started. He'll have 3 years to work in the country before leaving or applying for permanent residency. For now, he says he wants to come back to Nepal. Ayush was one of more than 20,000 young Nepalese officially studying in Canada in 2023, according to one report. That's almost triple the 7,680 students in 2022, making Canada one of the most popular destinations for Nepali students. That is changing fast, though. Word had already got out about Canada's increasingly expensive housing and scarcity of jobs for students. Then, late last year, the government announced that it was more than doubling the financial requirement for international students. It has also cut the number of work permits that will be available to graduating students. And this week, it announced it is limiting the number of hours that international students can work per week off campus. Ayush says he won't be affected by any of the announced changes. He tells me that he went to Canada, really, to kickstart his career, and thinks he is still on track to do that. Studies are the easy part, he says. Making ends meet otherwise is tough. It means, for example, trying to resist the temptations that would leave him financially bound to Canada, like having to make regular payments on a car loan or a mortgage. After all, Ayush did promise his father that he'd return to Nepal after 5 years. A couple of notes before we start. First, if you're a student thinking of going to Canada, please confirm any information that you hear in this conversation. It is opinion only, not verified fact. Second, you might have noticed that most of the interviews in this new season of the show were done in person, which is reflected in the great sound quality. This one was not. We recorded online for obvious reasons, so it doesn't quite match that level. But I don't think you'll have any problems hearing us. Let me know if you do. Please listen now to my conversation with Ayush Pokharel. Ayush Pokharel, welcome to Nepal Now on the Move.
Hey, Marty. Good morning from Canada, and thank you for having me in your podcast.
I'm very happy that you're here, Ayush. You're in London, not London, England, the London. You're in London, Ontario, Canada, a city that I lived in briefly in the 2000s. And I'm sitting in Kathmandu, the capital of Nepal, obviously. So I'm happy that we're doing this. We're temporarily in each other's countries, which is great. So I don't know much about you. I know that you're in London. You haven't been there long, about a year and a half, and you're studying. So we're going to get into all of that. But first, before we talk about the current and the future, tell me a little bit about your past, where you were born, where you went to school, that kind of thing.
I was born in a small, at that time it was a small city, now it's a bigger municipality. So I was born in Biratnagar, Nepal, and then I studied in BKVM, which is like Bal Kalyan Vidya Mandir. It's in Biratnagar. So like after grade 4, I shifted to Kathmandu and I went to Daffodil Public School. And then I did my SLC from there, and I went to Uniglobe Higher Secondary School for my high school. And after that, I went to Bangalore, India, for my mechanical engineering degree. And then COVID hit, And I went back. I did my last semester from Nepal, like the online thing, everything. And then it's been like 1.5 years. I'm here in London, Ontario, Canada.
Okay, that's great. So it fills in a few gaps. So did your family move to Kathmandu or just you to study?
No, the whole family moved. Like I have one brother, father, mother, and a grandmom. So like we moved to Kathmandu. I think it's in 2013, I guess.
Okay. And just in case people don't know, Biratnagar is in southeastern Nepal, one of the biggest cities in the country,
yes,
after Kathmandu.
Yes.
And SLC also, if you don't know, is School Leaving Certificate, which is grade 10 pass. And it's now called SEE, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, and then Bangalore. So why did you go to Bangalore?
Because like I wanted to be a mechanical engineer from grade 8. And then I searched for the colleges. And there are very few colleges in Nepal who provides the mechanical engineering degree. And I thought that it's easier to go like to Bangalore or India and do the mechanical engineering. Because, you know, we need to give exams. And then if you don't like be selected in the program, I had to make a 1 year gap. So that's why I thought like it's easier out there. So that I went in India.
Okay. I didn't realize that mechanical engineering was quite hard to study here. Like there's a lack of programs. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because only few colleges the universities provided.
So why mechanical engineering? What is it that you said from grade 8? What is it that got you excited about mechanical?
Like I was in my Mamagar. We say Mamagar. So like it's in Jhapa, Chandragadi.
Okay. Your uncle's house.
Yeah. And then I was casually changing like the channels on the TV. So like I found a channel called Discovery Turbo, which is more about cars and then repair and then modification and everything like that. And I thought like this is for me. Like I wanted to do that. I wanted to be that. So I went and studied mechanical engineering later on.
Hi everyone, this is Marty. I hope you're enjoying this episode. If you are, could you please do one thing? Can you share the link with just one other person who you think might be interested? The more people who listen to Nepal Now, the more likely it is that I'll be able to keep making the show. Thanks very much. Now back to the episode. And do you still kind of dream about those same sort of things? Like, is that where you're...
Even the course that I'm taking now, it's called Auto Body Repair Techniques, and it's more about repairing the vehicle and all. So like I'm into designing and the repair thing and like, yeah.
Okay. So then you finished a degree, like the degree you were doing in Bangalore, you finished it in Kathmandu online because of COVID.
COVID, yes.
So that's like a first degree, like a bachelor's degree.
Bachelor's degree, yeah.
And then what took you to all the way to Canada? It's a long way to go.
Yeah. So like Canada, I didn't come here for studies. I came here for my future. So like if you see the job opportunity in Nepal, like we have very few industries and the companies that are there is more like the service and the sale of the product. We don't have the company that are into manufacturing and all. And the growth is limited. So like for that reason, I thought like it's not worth it for my career and for my future to live in Nepal for this time. Like for a certain time, it's not worth it so that I can build myself and then I can excel in my life. So that's why I left.
I see. So you got to Canada. Were you looking to start to find a job right away? Was that the plan?
The first thing that I did was like, it is very hard to find a job in Canada, like the smaller job and the big job, even in the restaurant and in the Walmart and like that, those kinds of job, it's very tough to get because there are too much, the student are like too much here. So like the first thing I did, I applied online. We have like sites like Indeed and then Walmart and No Frills. So like I went into their sites and I applied for the job. And I don't know why, because I think that my CV was not that interesting enough for them. So like they were not calling me for interviews and all. So then later then, after a month of applying into the online sites, I went to give my CV in person, like restaurant to restaurant or the shop to shop. And then finally, I got my job in a fast food restaurant after a month that I came here. And those times were tough. Those times were tough.
Okay, and then so it took a month, which I guess was not what you were expecting, but sounds okay, like to find a job. It's not too long.
Yeah.
And then are you still working at that job or you've moved on from there?
No, I switched into another restaurant now because like they were not paying a good amount for me. And then I switched because my friends were working in the restaurant that I'm not working now, and they put a referral and they like put me in. So now it's good because I'm working with my friends. And the most important thing in Canada, I think it's referral. So you can refer the person that you want to like make work. For that to happen, we need a strong networking. So like that is also a next thing that we need here.
Right. Okay. So you've been there since September 2022.
Yeah.
2022. Yes. And so how are you feeling about your original plan? Do you feel like you're moving in the right direction or do you feel like you got completely sidetracked?
Times have been tough, but like back in the mind, I have the dream, I have the things to achieve. And I think I am in the right track right now because like I know what to do, what's my next step. So like I think I have not moved out of the track, but like I am running behind the tracks.
And while you're working, are you also taking classes or?
Yes. I work and take classes. Like, it's hectic though. Like, I have classes on every day and I have labs which I can't leave. And the RCC have made a new rule that you need to be present in your class and they will ask the teacher for the attendance sheet. So, like, you need to be on the class. And then I work, this week I work for 5 days. So like 5 days work, 5 days college, and that's how it is.
That's a lot. So you're working later, you're working like evenings, nights, that kind of thing? Or
yeah. So like Wednesday I have college starting from 10 and I have work starting from 5. So like I go out of the house at 8, catch a bus, go to the school, and rest for some time sometimes, and then go to work and be back here around 11-ish.
Oh, that's a long day.
Yeah.
So most of these friends you're talking about, are they students working as well in a similar situation?
Yes. Like they were my friends from back in Nepal. So like we have a whole house and only the friends live. Like we have 5 friends and we took the a whole house and then we live in the same house and we work in the same like restaurant and we go to the same school.
Well, that's nice. So you're with friends like all the time.
I feel like I'm never far away from my family because of my friends. So like that's also another thing that is needed in the foreign country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And are you cooking Nepali food all the time or?
All the time. Like we cook day and night. Every time.
And you're all guys?
Yeah.
And you know how to cook?
Yeah. This country trained me, in a way, to cook food. Because back in Nepal, I used to cook once a month, not even once a month. And now it's like morning, evening, every time.
Now you have no choice, right?
No choice.
There's no one else to cook for you.
Yeah.
So your friends, did they get there before you or after you? Or, you know, where are they in terms of their progression?
So like 2 of my friends, they were here 6 months before me. And 3 of us, we came together. And like even they finished school 8 months back, I think. So like they're in their work permit, but they're looking for a job right now.
Right. Okay. So when you apply and get accepted into a school, mm-hmm. and you finish your studies, automatically you can work for a certain period of time. Is it still that way?
Yes. Like if you take 1 year postgraduate diploma, you get 1 year of work permit. And if you take two courses of the same thing, like postgraduate diploma, you get 3 years of the work permit.
So you're doing one of those?
Doing the diploma course. I get 3 years of work permit. From 22 to April 2023, I took one course. And from September 2023 to like now, I am doing another course.
I see. And then the hope is that after your work permit, you can get permanent residency. Is that it?
Yes, that's the goal for now.
Okay. Now, I know that the Canadian government just now is really, really tightening the accessibility for international students. They cut it way, way down for the coming year, I think. But this won't affect you, right?
No. Like the students that are here in Canada, the rules won't affect to them. Like those who are coming in September this year, the rules are applied to those students.
Hey, so some students who already got accepted won't be able to come, do you think?
Like if we talk about the private schools, and if they are enrolled, they are admitted in the private schools, private colleges, and they are coming in September, they won't be able to get the postgraduate like PGWP, the work permit that we'll be getting after the course. Because they made a new rule that private colleges won't be allowed to give the work permit.
Okay, but the public institutions hasn't changed?
No.
For the work permit? I see.
Okay. And I think Ontario is cutting off like 50% of the students this year.
Yeah, it's because, a huge number.
Yeah. Talking about the students, like when I got admitted here, I was enrolled in a course called Practical Elements of Mechanical Engineering. And we had three sections. And I met a friend last night. And then those sections are increased to 7. Just you can imagine how much students are coming in.
I think, like, I haven't lived in Canada. Well, I lived there until 2016 and came here. And I know just the change in universities when I go back. Sometimes I take a part-time course or something. It's changed so much. You see so many international students. But you're not worried about any of this?
No. Even the students, those have applied before January 15th, they are... After January 15th, they need to have the attestation letter.
Okay, so you're in Canada, you're working, you're studying, you're going to have your work permit, that's the plan. So you have 3 years of working time, and during that time, you want to find a job in your area as a mechanical engineer. That's the plan, right?
Yes.
And then, okay, let's say you do that. Mm-hmm. Where do you see yourself in 5 years or 10 years?
Like the plan here is to like stay for a while, gain the experience, and I want to start something in my country. Like I have promised my brother when I left, like he motivated me to come out of Nepal. Like he told me that there is nothing here, and even I researched it and I found nothing in Nepal. So like we had a plan that you go study, I'll be here in Nepal, I'll look after the things here. I'll look after the issues and the, what do you call that? The problems, and we will find a solution and we'll start something here. So like, even I'm into designing. So I want to be a mechanical design engineer in future. And after that, my plan is to shift back to Nepal. Like after the PR, that's the plan.
Okay. Is this older brother?
Yeah. He's my older brother. He's 3
years.
How
many brothers and sisters do you have?
Just one. I have one brother. He's 3 years older than me. And we studied in the same college, like university back in Bangalore. So like he's a guardian for me, like the go-to person, you know?
Right. He gives you all your advice. And
yeah.
Okay. And do you know people who have done what you... what your plan is? Like, do you know people who have followed that same track, go abroad, study, and wanting to go back, and they go back, and then they set up a successful business? Has that happened to anyone you know?
The person I know, no. Because I have not seen anybody. Because, like, you know, when you move out of the country, you get compressed. Like, you are in a room and it's locked. Because, like, if I buy a phone, I need to pay it on the interest that I need to pay. And then if I buy a car, the installment I need to pay. And the mortgages and all and everything, like, they bind you to go out. So my plan is, like, to get out of those things, to get out of the room and move back to Nepal. Like, now I think like that, but I don't know. It's just in my head. But in near future, I think I will make it possible.
So you don't want to tie yourself down with any big financial commitments right now?
Yeah, right now, no.
But okay, that's great. Personally, I'm happy to hear that you want to come back to Nepal because, of course, you know better than I know that so many people are leaving the country, right? I heard this incredible figure the other day. I mean, these are people going out to work, right? So the so-called labor migrants. In a month, 71,000 people got a letter permitting them to go, right? And then another figure I saw in a year, last fiscal year, 45,000 students got a letter to leave the country. And I'm sure it's going to be as many or more this year.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of people leaving the country.
In a way, the government is lacking and we are lacking in Nepal. Because, like, we don't have anything to work. Like, the roommate that I live with, he's a gold medalist. And he left Nepal. The government could have easily told him to stay, like, given him a position. They let us go. That's the problem. And we don't have anything to, like, stay because there is nothing to research and there is no industries.
So your friend, the gold medalist, you said, you mean like an academic gold medalist? He's not an athlete. Okay.
No, academic, yeah.
So obviously you must think that he has like a bright, super bright future ahead of him, right? Lots of potential.
Mm-hmm. He is like 3 years. He's my brother's friend, actually. Like, he, when I was enrolled in the university, like Bangalore, he was my super senior. So, like, even he motivates me to find a job and, like, look for a job. Even I have 2 months into my studies. Like, after 2 months, I'm getting the graduated. Like, from a month back, I'm searching for a job because you don't find a job easily, even in your field. There are so many certification courses you need to do. And then, because here, everything is certification, right? It's tough.
So how do your parents and the bigger family feel about you leaving?
I was working in a, like, people in Nepal know Sipredi. It's a sales and service for Tata Motors. And I used to work as an intern, as a service engineer. And they would have eventually converted me into a service engineer and all. I was in my training itself. And my father says every day, it's like every time I call him, he says this. Things could have been better here. And he's like, even if you stayed here, it could have been better. But, like, it's better for him, right? And I'm not being selfish, but you have to be selfish sometimes for your career. And I told him that I'll go there, I'll earn some experience, I'll earn some knowledge and skills, and then I'll come back. And I have asked him, give me 5 years' time, and then I'll come back to you.
You haven't been back here in Nepal since you left. When will you come back, like, for a visit?
I wanted to come back in this July, I think, because my brother is getting married. But the situation is, I need to find a job. I need to, like, be settled here. Those are the small sacrifices that I need to do to excel in my life. So, like, I told him that I might or might not come, but, like, I try my hard to be there, but I don't think I'll be going there.
Yeah, that's too bad. That's a big big event you're going to miss.
Yeah, it's a big event, yeah.
And if you don't mind me asking, what about money? Like, how difficult is this financially for you and your family? Is it like a really big kind of sacrifice for the family for you to be there, or not so bad?
It's not so bad because, like, I had collected some money from the school fees and all, and I couldn't do it myself on my own, like on my own. And they helped me with it. And it's not like that difficult, but it's somehow difficult because we are a middle class family. So like it's not too much money and all.
And when you were planning to go to Canada and you were doing all of your paperwork and online work, and were you able to do all of that yourself, or did you pay one of these so-called consultants to do a lot of the applications and that kind of thing? How did that work?
Like I went into a consultancy and like I paid some amount, but I had the school in mind, I had the course in mind, and like I did everything. They just filed my application. I did the CA reports and all the processing things. I don't know, because I was not that confident enough to face the rejection. So that's why I took their help.
I see. Okay. Yeah, that's a huge business now also, right? With the number of students going overseas, then the number of these consultancies is just, mm-hmm. you know, ballooning like crazy.
But I think because of the cap, their business are going down now, because the student, they are not so intrigued by the situation in Canada now. It's not that bad, but like they don't want to come here. And the minimum pay is minimum. It's better to go to Australia than come to Canada. So like many of people are shifting there.
Hey, that's interesting you should say, because one of the reasons why I'm focusing on migration now with this podcast is I meet a lot of people, you know, at a shop or a party or in the taxi, and then they find out I'm from Canada. And I would say in the past year, there have been more people than ever who have said to me, oh, my cousin is going to Canada, or my uncle lives in Canada, or there seem to be like more and more connections between Nepal and Canada. I first came in 2005, right? So almost 20 years. So yeah. I can see the evolution over time. But you're saying that for students, it's kind of losing the shine.
Yeah, because like it was easier to come to Canada because of the diploma course. And if you come here for masters, you need to have like 3.2 above GPA, and which is not enough for everybody. And because of the diploma course, many people are coming in, and that's the reason they had to put the student cap to cut off the student. You can get a PR after 3-4 years because it's not that tough. Okay. That was the appealing thing. And now there are too much student, less job. So,
right. Okay. You know, we talked a little bit about you living with your friends and, you know, you're all from Nepal. You know each other from before. You studied together. Sounds like you get along quite well. So I'm thinking for you to be in a new country, a completely different culture, it's a bit different because you are in a new country, but you're still living with all of your friends and cooking Nepali. And do you feel like there's some sort of culture shock or just like an adjustment that you have to make, or not really because of your situation?
Even if there was not a situation like me, there are so many immigrants here. Like we love Indian foods and Indian culture, right? And we, even on the TVs, we see the Indian movies and all. So there are many Indians here, and then many Nepalese here. So like, it's not that much. And even I'm living with my friends, like we don't miss Nepal right now. And even the momos and the food that we really miss, we cook it and we eat it together. Like the culture shock is not there for me.
Right. Okay. Are there any Nepali restaurants there or Indian only?
Well, we have few Nepali restaurants and a lot of Indian restaurants. And the authentic restaurant, the Nepali restaurant I have seen is two.
Okay, Ayush, this has been very interesting. Is there something else you want to talk to me about?
I want to say something for the students that are coming in. I took my first course, which was Practical Elements of Mechanical Engineering. And on my second semester, we had a capstone project. In that project, you need to form a group and then you need to do the project. So like I had one friend with me and we started doing the project and we failed in that subject. Because like I was responsible for the machining thing with the lathe and all. So I was into machining and he was into documenting everything. And he didn't properly documented the thing. And the professor failed us because of those things. And whenever you fail, you need to take the course as a part-time student. And you cannot work as a part-time student. Like, you can learn two things from my experience. Find a good partner in your project. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, like, don't fail. Because it'll eat your brain up, I think.
So you're not going to work with that partner again, I guess.
I told him on the face, like, I'm not going to work. Please leave me alone.
Makes sense. Yeah, you don't want to fail again.
Yeah. So I did my project the next time alone. I did it all alone.
And you passed?
Yeah, I got 4 out of 4.
Hey, very good. Okay. Well, that's good. I'm happy to hear that you succeeded the second time through and learned the lessons also. And generally, is it more difficult to do the coursework there or here?
It's easier. It's far more easier. Like my bachelor's, I had 2 exams in a day. And this is like 2 pages for an exam. So like it's too easy. The study thing is easy. The surviving thing is hard, I think.
All right, Ayush, it was great to meet you. And I hope that maybe we can talk again.
Thank you for letting me speak in your podcast and show the thing that I have experienced in my life.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it. Okay, bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Please let me know what you thought of my chat with Ayush. Email me at nepalnowpod@gmail.com or message us on Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, or Facebook. I'll be back with a short episode of Nepal Now Right Now next week. Talk to you then.